So I want to share today from Acts chapter 10. It's one of my most favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I think Acts is an amazing book. I love Acts. And one of the main reasons that I love Acts is that it's not just the fact that God did his thing, but it's about real people. And it's about whole households. And it says it more than once in Acts. Whole households got saved. And so that excites me. And I love the idea that God wants to connect and relate with people to see his work done, to see the kingdom of God expand. And I think there's nothing that typifies Acts more than Acts chapter 10. I just love this chapter, and it has a lot for us. And so this morning I want to talk about this. And so it took me a little while to come up with a heading. Whether you need a heading or not, I don't know. But God's plan needs you. Yes, you. You. Okay, so there's a couple of main players. We have Cornelius, and we have Peter, and of course God, and then there's a few other players that need to be involved as well. So there's Cornelius's servants, there's a few of Peter's friends, and then Cornelius's friends and family a bit later on in the whole thing. God works with and through these people, and it's just an amazing, incredible encounter of God with this group of people that are just open. Okay, so it starts with Cornelius, and I love the picture that it gives us. It's a little snippet, really, of who Cornelius is. And so we have here that Cornelius, let's read it, get on to the next one. Verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Now, that's there for all eternity. And I'd like to be that bloke. And so this guy has such a devotion towards God that it was important enough for the writer of Acts, Luke, to actually write down what the character, the godly character of this man was like. And I think we can base our lives on this man just here. We don't have to go really beyond that. I just want to touch it because I want to reach all of chapter 10 of Acts today. So, one, he was devout, two, God-fearing, three, generous, four, he prayed. And so, remember, he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. And given the fact that he was a Roman centurion, he wouldn't have always been a Jew. He wouldn't have believed the God of the Bible. He would have been probably believing other gods along the way. So, at some point, he is posted to Caesarea, and along the way, he connects with the Jewish faith and says, I need this God in my life. What an incredible change. What an amazing change for this man at some point. We don't read about that, but the fact is there was change in this man's life towards the one true God, and all he had to go on was the Jewish faith at that point. And so here we have it. At some point, he gives his life to Creator God. He makes that decision and decides to follow the God of the Jews. It says, one, he is devout. Basically, what that means is that he's fully committed to God. That's all that being devout is. Let's be fully committed to God. What an amazing thought. Two, he's God-fearing. Why would they bother saying that? Creator God was the one true God to him now. Not all the other gods that are out there in the marketplace at that time. He took seriously commandment that says you shall have no other gods before me. He was single-minded towards his God, and he wasn't getting distracted by everything else that was going on. He loved his God, and he was devoted completely to him. It says, number three, that he was generous. He was obviously very well off. He was a centurion and probably got very well paid. Probably one of the wealthiest people around, but he did not keep that to himself. It says that he was generous to the poor. It's good to have a generous heart. Very important to have a generous heart. Generosity means a whole lot of things, and I think I'll do a series at some point down the track, maybe 5 years down the track, on generosity and all that that means and how important it is for our community to understand that we are a generous people. It's very important. And so this man, because he was generous to his community, it says to the poor that he had, had integrity and he had credibility within that community already. He was a generous man. Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." So this man is a refreshing person to other people, and he too is blessed. He loves doing what he's doing. He loves being generous towards others, and others are blessed because of him. Wouldn't it be nice to have that about said about us? Hey, I love being around that person because of the way that they are towards me, about the encouragement. I'm big on encouragement. You might get sick of me encouraging you, but that's just how I see church life should be, because out there it doesn't happen too much. But if we encourage one another, people will gravitate towards that. This man had that in him. It's not just in regard to his finances. This man was a generous man in every respect. Proverbs 22:9 says, "A generous man will himself be blessed." And then number four, he was a prayer. He had a real relationship with the Creator God. He had a real relationship with Creator God. And so prayer typifies that. How's your prayer life going? Do you give him time? Do you have 10 minutes aside with him? Forget an hour. If you're not doing too much praying, try 10 minutes. If you've got a whole lot of children, it's not easy to find time. But make time. Just get time out, because it helps us. It just helps us to reflect and I think if you've got little children, it's just about getting sanity back. and I think God wants us to get into that place of quiet. And so you guys that have got little children, maybe one partner has 10 minutes out and then at some point, and just take time out and reflect on God and how good he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. Our God is a great God, and he wants to touch our lives. And so this man, remember, this is, he believed in the God of the Jews, and he hasn't got the Spirit of God inside of him, but he's made a choice to go this way. And he's come to a place of acknowledging and understanding that he is the one true God. Praise God. Okay. So all this is like not just an inward expression, but an outward expression of his new faith that brought about this vision. So why did God choose Cornelius? For all of those reasons. Could have chosen anyone. Chose Cornelius because of his devotion and heart to God. We just think, oh, it's Cornelius. But why? I want to be that person where I'm in a place where God can speak into my heart about whatever he wants to do with me, because he does want to use me and he does want to use you guys as well. The world needs to be impacted by the love and the power and the presence of God. The world desperately needs. But it starts in this devotional place where Cornelius was. Okay, so in verse 4, well, let's read verses 3 to 8. "One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius.' Cornelius stared at him in fear. 'What is it, Lord?' he asked. The angel answered, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa." Okay. So the angel now speaks to Cornelius. He has this vision of this angel coming to speak to him. The angel is very specific. It couldn't get more specific. This is not a vague little, "Yea, verily, the Lord would say God loves you." This is so incredible, and that's important. We need to know that. But on this case, this is incredibly, amazingly specific. It doesn't get any more specific than this. Get Simon, who is called Peter. So this is not leaving any doubt on who this person is. This guy has two names. And so the angel lets him know that. Two, he's in Joppa. Number three, he's staying with Simon the tanner. And Simon the tanner lives by the sea at Joppa. So either this is not a vague thing. It is either true or it's false. And so right now, Cornelius' reputation is on the line. He has this vision. He's either a fruitcake or it's true. And so at this point, he has a lot of credibility in this community, a lot of credibility in the community. But he lays it all on the line because of this vision that he sees. What would you do? Lay it all on the line? Maybe he's cracked under the pressure of being a centurion, all the pressures that that brings and all the people that are coming at him all day long, or it's real. What does he do? He sends two servants and a trusted soldier, people that I have no doubt he trusts with this message, to go and find this guy who is Simon, called Peter, in Joppa, who living with Simon the Tanner near the sea. Now, if you were those messengers, what would you be thinking about now as well? Would you have any questions? maybe, just maybe. I would have a few questions in regard to this guy. What he's saying to me. Obviously, there's respect. The soldier, it says, too, was devout. Okay, so the soldier that went with the two servants also came to believe in the God of the Jews. Why? Because of Cornelius, I have no doubt, in the way that he responded and the way that he had faith towards the God of the Jews. So these men went out. They had a bit of time to question this vision, but they went because of their respect of Cornelius. Okay, and so I think as we can share into the lives of people as well as we have credibility and integrity. How is it in your life? Are people going to listen to you because you've got something substantial in regard to how you respond to people? Or are people just going to push you away because of how you are towards people? And so God wants us to be influential in the lives of the people around about us. And that takes a godly lifestyle. And we already know that Cornelius has that. So he has credibility. He's got a few brownie points up his sleeve, and these guys will go for him. And I think also because he's a centurion, and so you've got to do what a centurion says too. But it's more than that. These guys are willing to go because of his credibility and his the way that he lives his life. Okay. So let's go on to slide 4. So they're nearly at Joppa. So we've now turned to Joppa. And Peter is hungry. He's up the stairs. And then we have this, anyone who's been in Sunday school for any length of time knows this story. So the sheet comes down with the unclean foods. He falls into a trance and heaven opens. And the voice from heaven says, "Kill and eat, Peter." And Peter wants to disobey the vision. "No, I'm not going to do that. I don't eat unclean foods." Fancy saying no to God. But do you know what? We can do it as well. When things are outside of our comfort zone and we think that we know better, we can say no as well. It's not just like, well, that's what Peter said. We can do the same thing. But God wants us to be influential and make a difference in the lives of the people around about us. And sometimes that means that we need to be challenged in our hearts in regard to what we believe God might be saying. We can dismiss it. We can push it to one side. We can do what Peter said and just say, "Nah, I'm not doing that." But God has a way of getting through to us, to each one of us. And so I believe it's Jesus. Jesus speaks and says, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." This messes with his head. His culture says, "Don't eat." From a child, he has been taught that God doesn't want them to eat unclean foods. This has completely snapped his brain. This is incredibly challenging for him. He believes that he's a godly man and he lives by the rules. And he will always live by the rules. And in one foul swoop, in this vision with the sheet coming down with the unclean animals, Peter, kill and eat. What I've called clean is clean. It's not unclean. And so what does Peter do? Well, he's struggling with God just at this moment. But one thing happens which is very, very pertinent to Peter. The voice talks three times. We know about Peter's connection with God three times. Okay, Peter denied Jesus three times. And then when Jesus is resurrected, he talks to Peter. Do you love me? How many times? Three times. Peter can no longer dismiss God speaking to him three times. And so the sheet goes up and he has to come to terms with what is happening in his life, and the stirring up and everything that he thought was sacred is now smashed. It's not easy. It's not always easy when we're actually open to what God has got for us to do that. It wasn't actually easy for Cornelius either to step out and actually go with this vision. He could have been incredibly wrong, but he was willing to run with it. And so he's challenged. Okay, slide five. The vision is over, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And the servants of Cornelius and the soldier turn up. Has to be the right timing. And so challenging moments, we think, what do we do? How do we make it all happen? It has to be in the right moment. And so if these guys knocked on the door before the vision, who knows how Peter would have responded. But you see, God has spoken to him, and it puts a courage and a confidence to know what does come next. And so sometimes we can get ahead of God. It's so easy to get ahead of God and to try and do things when we think it needs to be done. Well, it could be completely wrong. And so Peter could have tried to do it the wrong way around and do it his way. But the reality is, in this situation, he wouldn't have done anything. At this point, the church is Jewish. The only Christians are Jews. There is no Gentile church. There's none of the apostles are going out to the Gentile people. They're staying in Israel, talking to Israelites. That's how they thought the church was. So it had to be an incredible moment to change what was going on. And so here we have the three guys that knock on the door. And it says in verse 20 that Jesus says, "Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Well, the Holy Spirit says that to him. He has to do it, but he's now willing to do it. God has spoken to him into the very depths of his emotions in regard to the three times thing. And now he's being challenged to do something that he's very uncomfortable with, but knows that he needs to do. And he knows that his God's going to be with him. This isn't by accident. He knows that. This is straight after his vision. And so that's how God can work with you. You think this is so tough. But if God actually speaks into your heart, hey, things will fall into place in God's time. There is power in what Jesus speaks into your heart. And there is authority. And we can stand with our head held up high and see the power of God at work. Who wants to be a part of the miraculous working of God? God wants to use us. He's using people. He did right through Acts. He certainly does in Acts chapter 10. God is looking for you. Yes, you. He wants to use you. What a privilege. So this is now really the starting of the birth of the church as we know it today, not just for the Jews, but for all people. This is an incredible moment in church history right here, right now. Okay, slide six. God's plan needs you, yes, you. 23. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went with him. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent me? Cornelius doesn't have all the answers. Peter doesn't have all the answers. But both men are obedient to what they know. And that's the challenge, to actually take the first step of faith to go where God wants you to go. And then everything gets revealed. We know how it works with God. He doesn't lay it all out. It's not all clear to us. It's not always easy to actually take those steps. But that's how God wants to work with each one of us. So Peter takes a few men with him from Joppa, along with the three men from Cornelius. And Cornelius is waiting. He hasn't just sat on his backside waiting for these guys to come if they happen to turn up. He's actually believed the vision that he saw and has gone out of his way to evangelize. He's got something to share with the world. He doesn't know what it is yet, but he knows that it's going to happen. And so because he's a generous, like, hey, he's a centurion. It could have been just him and his little bit of family, and we'll just all wait for them to come. He could have done that. I'm going to have this great message. I've had this vision from God, and that's all right for me. But you see, he's got a generous heart. And generosity goes way beyond just thinking about yourself and your family. Generosity is thinking about the world around, and he wanted his world that he knew to be involved in this incredible event that's going to take place. What faith this man had. A lot of G and D this guy had. This is a guts and determination thing where he is willing to stake his whole reputation on this vision. And he does so. And not only that, he shows it by action. He's got all his mates around him. He's got all his friends coming. And they're there. Who knows how long that maybe there was a messenger saying, oh, they're coming back, they're coming back. And so he pulls them all together. But you know how hard it is to get people in church all together at one time before actually the meeting starts? That's almost impossible. Well, this is a miracle in itself. We've got all these people already waiting for Peter and the team to come back. And so I just want to reflect again on the people that are waiting in Cornelius' house. What are they thinking? Well, we've turned up. What are we doing here? Are we wasting our time? Questions. Put yourself in the shoes of these people. They don't know what's happening. They have no... Cornelius says, come and meet this guy. Why? I don't know, but just turn up. I've had this vision. He'll tell us what we're supposed to know. It's an interesting little conversation that he has with all his friends and family and anyone else around the place. It's an amazing moment. It's a miraculous moment. It's an incredible moment where the power of God uses two people. And two people come together in obedience. And it's all about to go kapoom. The power of God at work. They probably question his sanity as well. It's not normal. You don't hear people having visions and then getting everyone together. But praise God, he did. And so here they are, willing to give this man a go because he probably has given them a go and has supported them and encouraged them, and the least they can do is at least turn up. So the whole thing has been set because this man in the past has shown credibility and love and concern for the people around him. And that's how we touch our community. And so Cornelius is touching his community because he's and can bring them to a place where they can hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that he knew at this point what it was all about, because he has shown that he cares. And I pray that as we go forward, that we will show that we care for our community. Our community needs to know the love of a Savior. And we have the message to give them. And so here they are. They're all turning up. And so when Simon called Peter, walks in, are they going to be listening? Where did he come from? Yes, it was exactly where. These guys are now going to be attentive to the word. You've got to believe it. They were ready to listen when this guy was real, that it wasn't just a figment of Cornelius's imagination. They are very, very, very ready to hear what he's got to say. They realize, I would think, that this is a very important moment. Visions don't normally happen. Then visions that are given are usually crackpot. This is true. This is reality. And it's a reality for them. And it's a special and important moment in their lives. They are ready to hear whatever Peter is going to tell them. And they are there because of Cornelius and his connection and relationship with these guys. Who are we connected to? Who are we relating to? They need to know the love of a Savior. Cornelius was out on a limb. Maybe we are too as we start connecting and relating and communicating with the people around us. These four walls can be way too small for the people that are going to be connected, because I've got to know who you are, and you guys have a love for God. You have a passion for the things of God and a passion for your community. With the help of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. The funny thing is, Peter and Cornelius didn't have the whole picture, but both obeyed. And in obedience with the directive that they had, great things are about to happen. God wants to work with you for miracles to happen. Who wants to be a part of miracles happening? New people coming into church because you're being obedient to the voice of God. To go out of your way, to show care and concern, show that sense of generosity in a whole lot of different ways to people round about you. And people say, I want to be a part of that because I know that there is safety there. There is protection there. There is embrace there. There is love there. Praise God. So Cornelius evangelizes his friends. They turn up and they hear the message. Okay, slide 8. And so verses 34 to 43, Peter preaches the gospel. The unadulterated gospel. But before he does, he has an introduction. In verse 34 and 35, Peter puts voice through his revelation. He cements it in his own heart. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Verse 35, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Okay, that's incredible. He had to actually say it again. This is a journey for Peter as well. He had to come to terms with the fact that he is to speak to Gentile people and not just to Jewish people. In verse 28, he says that when he first comes to them, he has to say it again when they're all there and he's about to start to preach. He needs to get it in his heart that this is the call of God for him, and he cements it first. And confession's important. Sometimes we think, yeah, we might need to do something, but until we actually speak it out, it's just sort of out there somewhere. Confession is so important. What are you confessing in regard to your life, in regard to your children? I'll keep saying it throughout the course of my life here. That's just how it is. Confession's so important. Peter's confessed it here in verse 28. If you go back to verse 28, he says it there as well. It's like he needs to convince himself. But as he speaks it out, the power of God is at work through the words, and he's starting to believe it for himself. And then he speaks with boldness the gospel that they've never heard before and are ready for. Praise God. And in verse 36, Peter sets the direction of his message. He is going to tell them about the gospel of peace. And he says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. This is our gospel, the gospel of peace, or the covenant of peace, which I've already talked to you about, between God and man. And he talks briefly about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and that he was a witness as well as other people of his resurrected state. And then finishes with verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Praise God. Given that vision that Cornelius had, given that Peter spoke boldly with authority, these people had no problem in listening and believing that word. And without any coercion or anything like that, we come to verse 44, slide 9, please. Well, sorry, it's a bit smaller. I had to fit it all in. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that was the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Okay, this is the culmination of obedience. This is the power of God touching lives. And there are many lives out there that need to be touched with the same power of God that we see from verse 44. The Holy Spirit came on all that heard the message. There's a couple of things I want to bring to note here. One, may we not shy back from speaking about this gospel of peace, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:17 goes on, 1:16, verse 17, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The gospel is not to be ashamed of. In the right setting, in the right place, at the right time, with the word of God in your heart, it can impact the lives of people forever. And this group of people, it impacted them, but it's impacted us because we are here because of this event. As non-Jews, we are here because of this event. Two, when the New Testament tells of the Holy Spirit coming on or upon, it's not talking about the salvation process. It's always, always talking about this other event, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every time you see the word on or upon, it's actually talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just thought I'd mention that. We'll talk about that and do more teaching in our studies. Number three, how did the Jewish believers know that these Gentiles, non-Jews, had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They spoke in tongues and praised God. I'm Pentecostal. I believe in the power of God and I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence being speaking in tongues. And again, that's part of the study that we'll do at another time. It's awesome. I heard a Baptist minister a long time ago when Mum had the tapes in the car, and it was David Pawson, if you've ever heard of him. He would say that, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit, and it was at the time when people were coming into the Holy Spirit, late 60s, early 70s. And he said, getting saved is like having a car going with one cylinder, but when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like going on all four cylinders. Oh, we can go better than that. One cylinder. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like having six cylinders, eight cylinders, 12. It's there for us. We don't have to do this alone in any way. And so they spoke in other languages that they did not know, and praise God. And then Peter then baptizes them in water, the symbolism of their faith that they received as Peter was preaching the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. How powerful is the gospel? May we never belittle the power of the word of God into the lives of people at the right place at the right time. We don't Bible bash people, it doesn't work. But in the right place in the right time, with the credibility that you have with people, how impacting and awesome that is. Okay, so that's that. Slide 10. So where does this story leave us? Number one, Peter thought that he had all his theology done and dusted, but he was willing to obey the direction, almost like he had to repent, change his mind about what he thought was religiously right. We don't want to be religious. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we work with the Word of God. Nothing can be outside of the Word of God. We're not here to be fruitcakes. We're here to be solid in the Word of God. But hey, have we all got all of our theology together? Be open to what God is saying to you in any circumstance that you find yourself in. Two, as soon as he was able to let go of the stuff of his past, his cultural teaching, God was able to do amazing things through him. Can our past keep us from doing what God wants us to do in our future? So we're not just talking about theology here. We're just talking about stuff that actually holds us back because there's fear in us that stops us being all that we can be in God and touching the lives of people, because God uses people. Acts 10 is obvious. He used Cornelius. He used Peter to see awesome, amazing things take place. Even those servants that went are part of the story. Praise God. Can we be open to doing something new that we might be uncomfortable with when we think the Holy Spirit might be speaking to us? The sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. Number three, don't settle for the status quo. Just because people might put pressure on you to go a certain way, If God is speaking you to go another way, do it. Peter knew he was going to be poured over the coals when he got back. The Jewish Christians were not happy when he came back and they heard the story, and then he had to go through it with them, what God had done, and then they started to come to terms with it. He knew he was going to get into trouble by doing this, and hey, it's not always easy. God doesn't say it's always going to be easy, but boy, oh boy, it's awesome and it's wonderful to be working with God to see amazing things happen. And he probably thought, yeah, I know what's going to happen back there, but I see the hunger of these people. And you wouldn't miss that for the world. You would die to see something like that happen, where not just a whole household, but a whole friendship circle gets saved. How incredible. Don't settle for the status quo. And number four, if you think God has not got anything special for you to do, think again. Because he loves working with you. You are the apple of his eye. He rejoices over you with singing, as Zephaniah says. We think, oh, God can't use me. Boy, oh boy, who are you touching in your world? Who do you rub shoulders with? Who desperately needs to know the love of the Savior? Mate, there are people out there, and people might have a hard facade towards Christianity, religion in general. But boy, oh boy, when it comes to the chase, whatever it doesn't matter, the reality is people are searching and looking, and there's always another story in the lives of people. You don't know what's going on in the lives of people. And people are searching and looking for people that they can trust, that have credibility, that they know that they can speak to in time of need, and the doors can open. Praise God. Now, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken other tongues and you'd like to, come and talk to me, talk to Pastor Ken, anyone else that you might know, because it's an amazing experience and it brings us into a whole new realm of the gifts of the Spirit of God over our lives. It's wonderful. If you do, when was the last time you spoke in tongues outside of maybe in church? Let it flow. Let it flow. Let the rivers of living water flow out of you. Because as you do that, your heart becomes soft to hear what God has got for you. Our God's a great God. And he's got great things in store. Be open to him. Give him time. Be a prayer like Cornelius. Amen. Let's all stand and I'll just close in prayer. And I just want to commit our future to God. If you want prayer for anything else, feel free to come up to me afterwards and we'll pray. Lord, I thank you for this story. And Lord, it was more a devotional today, obviously, as we went through Acts chapter 10. Something that excites me every time. I love getting to Acts in my daily Bible reading program and just can't wait to go through the stories again and be impacted by these people who were real, who touched you and were bold in you and made choices not because of how they felt or what other people felt, but because of how you spoke into their hearts and they went for it. Lord God, I pray that we'll be bold like that. Lord God, bold in displaying your love, having a generous attitude like Cornelius had, where he could actually invite all those people to hear about you and what you've done for them and what you have done for us. And may we be able to share that with the people around about us. Lord God, I thank you we don't do this alone. That when we give our lives to you, your spirit comes into our lives and our dead spirit becomes alive and we get born again. Lord God, there's this other wonderful experience where the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus himself, that we might go out and walk in authority and power. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances, we can walk in authority and power, even if it's difficult. And we can stand up and be strong. And people see that, but they also see your love in us. And Lord, I pray that we'll be a people that determine to walk in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church today. It's awesome to see you. God bless you. Go home, read Acts chapter 10, and you can get a whole lot of other thoughts out of it on top of what I've said today. But God bless you, and thank you for coming to church.